Anybody got a testimony tonight? Anybody? We did good on that last week. Anybody got a quick testimony you'd like to share with us tonight? Anybody? Yes, sir. All right, brother, thank you. Anyone else? Quick testimony? All right, let's get our Bibles. We're going to Acts chapter 28 tonight. Acts chapter 28, the last chapter here in the book of Acts. And we're going to look, probably do the first, I'm going to read the first six verses, and then I'll probably read down through verse 10 a little bit later on. And then we'll kind of take a look at how this all ends. It really doesn't end or conclude. The New Testament church is still happening. The story is still being written, even here tonight. Amen? But we'll take a look at this. We talked last week when we did the storm, as Paul is now on his way to Rome, and they got into the storm. I mentioned how you have the word we, indicating Luke is there. Luke has been with him. Luke is with him even here. He's a companion. Paul has been given a lot of leeway. Nobody really thinks he's guilty of anything anyway, even the authorities that have condemned him. But the only reason he's even having to go to Rome is because he appealed to Caesar because he didn't want to get sent back to Jerusalem and be put back into the hands of the hostile Jewish people that brought all these charges up. But none of the Roman officials have thought it was a problem. Festus, even whenever he dealt with him, Festus was worried that how am I going to send this man to Caesar when I don't really have any case to give to Caesar? So he might have gotten in trouble himself over the whole thing because he didn't have much to say about it. But nevertheless, he appealed, so he goes. But it was in the will of God that he would go. It was the plan of God that he would go, even as a prisoner. And then this whole storm that happened that we looked at last week, so they shipwrecked on this Isle of Melita, and we're going to read here tonight the first six verses about what happened is they all ended up in the ocean and came ashore on this island. So if you look there at chapter 28 and verse 1, and when they were escaped, that is the broken up ship, the shipwreck. When they had escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. So that storm's still going on. Verse 3. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked on him when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a God. And let's pray. Father God, direct us in your word here this evening, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for these great stories you've given us in the Bible. And help us, Lord, to learn from it tonight. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've preached from this passage before on the ups and downs of following the Lord. And that's what I kind of want to go with tonight as well. I've seen a lot of different titles for this. Shake It Off. I'm not going to use that tonight. But that's a title you could use. And he shook the devil off, amen? But anyway, I don't even know what that means. I've heard it somewhere. But y'all all knew, didn't you? Paul knew the ups and downs of the Christian life. So no doubt the ups, you think about the Christian life, it's the best. It is the best life there is to live, right? The Christian life is the most wonderful life there is to live. It's the life that God intends for everybody. It's the life that God has made available through His Son to everybody to follow His Son, Jesus Christ, and be a Christian and live the Christian life and go be with Him forevermore. Just the idea that He provided salvation, but then after you receive Him as your Savior, the wonderful journey to follow thereafter. Now that seems a little odd to say, the wonderful journey that follows thereafter. But look at Paul. He's a prisoner and just had a shipwreck. Now he's got bitten by a snake and he's following the Lord. You know, it seems kind of odd to say. He's still in the will of God. He's still better off in the will of God. Amen. And the Lord protected him in the shipwreck. The Lord protected him right here as well. So it is the most wonderful life that we can live, is the Christian life. And somebody has said this, the best 2 days in a person's life is the day you were born and the day that you discover why. Well, that's when you finally realize your purpose in life. And I think really the only time you can realize your purpose in life is when you are born again. And you realize your purpose is, we mentioned it this morning and sang it tonight, to glorify God. And whenever you get to that point in your life, that you learn my purpose in life is to glorify God by following His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though that means storms, that means trials, that means problems, is still the most wonderful life to live, and it's what God wants us to do. So it's the day when we discover the peace of God, the purpose of God, the path of God, the blessings of God, the protection and the provision of God. Not just winging it and trying to do the best that we can as a lost soul, but a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that I believe that's the kind of people I'm talking to tonight. So the upsides, the mountaintops, the days of blessings in your life. And you think about Paul here. I believe Paul, on the ups and downs, experienced more of both of those things than the average Christian. I think that's safe to say. I mean, God used this man in a great way, and God allowed him to suffer in a great way. And the Lord said that at the moment he got saved in Acts chapter 9 because of how he had persecuted the Lord. He was also now going to suffer for the Lord. It was a part of the will of God for him, and it was an example for you and me, just like Job is. Paul, how he handled the suffering is an example, because we're going to go through it as well. So he knew the ups, thank God for it. He knew those great experiences with the Lord, like most people don't know. And he was used of God, like most people don't know. And he also was ridiculed and persecuted, like most people probably have never faced. So whenever people say he's the greatest Christian, well, that's why. Because God used him in such a great way and he faced so many things. So he knew the ups, but he also knew the downs. I mean, his missionary journeys were tiring and wearisome and relentless and dangerous, that he went through all of those things in his life. But as we said this morning, no matter with the opposition, he kept right on going. No matter what happened, the hatred that came his way, all of it. In this case, a shipwreck, a prisoner on a ship. And we talked about last week, the confidence that he had as a prisoner was because the Lord was with him. The confidence that he spoke up on a couple of different occasions and gave advice like he did. And then, of course, gave a message from the Lord that they would all survive, although the ship would be destroyed and the ship's owner, he told him that too, because it was his decision to say, let's sail on anyway, after Paul had advised him not to do it. So he survived that. He is a prisoner. Now he's got this snake bite. Now the Bible says here, it says venomous. Now that word is added by the translators, but the context says it was venomous. Those barbarians. Now the word barbarian, by the way, you notice they were kind. They weren't very barbarous. That's just a Greek word that we use sort of like heathen, meaning off in the jungle somewhere, not knowing about civilization or God. That's all that meant. Didn't mean that they were, headhunters or anything like that, because they weren't. So they were nice people. But I tell you what, they knew their snakes when they saw one. And they called that one a beast. So they expected him. So I have no doubt it was venomous. The context implies it was venomous, and they knew it was venomous, and they watched, and they said, you know what? That guy right there, he survived the shipwreck, but the gods aren't going to let him get much farther, because he ain't going to let... And they watched, and they watched. That's odd. They didn't know what to do about it. They just watched. Have you ever seen people go through tragic things in our day and time and you wonder about the guy that's holding the camera? Why don't you go help somebody, you know? Y'all ever see those videos, somebody's getting beat up? Hey, dude with the camera, the filming it, why don't you go help him out, you know? Or somebody's about to get swept away by a river and somebody's filming it, you know, and all of this kind of stuff. And it's almost like they instead of saying, hey, here's what you need to do for that, they just watched. Why? Because they concluded that the gods had punished him. That's why. They didn't want to get involved and save this man. Look, he made it through a shipwreck, but now this, they didn't get involved. Their gods, not God, their gods, they didn't know about God. But they thought it was something like that, so they just sort of let it go. But let's learn some lessons about this. This is a very challenging situation for Paul. Let's just look at a few lessons here tonight about him and the ups and downs of following the Lord. I want to say, number one tonight, Paul was a servant to others. Paul was a servant to others. What do we find him doing? Why'd he get bit by a snake? Because he's picking up sticks for the fire. Paul's helping out. Paul just jumped right in. Hey, y'all want to make a fire? We need to make a fire? Okay, great. So he goes on out there and he's gathering the sticks for the fire. Now most inmates won't do that unless they're told to do that, probably. He's an inmate. He's a prisoner. But I don't think he had to be told, just knowing and understanding Paul, I don't think he had to be told to jump in and help. I like it when people just know to, hey, can I help you? Can I just jump in and help? Can I give a helping hand? I believe Paul was that kind of a person, so he just jumps right in, and a fire, he says it's still, the storm's still going on. It's cold. The rain's coming down. They need fire. They're all wet. I don't know who else was helping, but I know this one is. The Bible lets us know that Paul was right there getting involved and helping out all that he could. You know, he's a follower of the greatest servant leader that's ever been, the Lord Jesus Christ. You think somebody would have had to tell the Lord, hey, you want to get over here and help us? I think he'd have done it. I think he'd have been there already, don't you? I don't think nobody would have said, hey, you know, why are you sitting over there? Why don't you come help us out? No, Paul just jumped right in there. And he's following the Lord. So, you know, Paul would have never been too proud to, you know, clean a bathroom or vacuum a floor or any of that kind of stuff. He got his hands dirty, right? He was a worker and he was a tent maker and he wasn't afraid to do any of that. You know, a lot of folks like leadership, even in the church. We like leadership, perhaps, and we like a position, but sometimes we like the position more than we like the people that we're supposed to be helping. But Paul wasn't like that. Paul had a heart for God just like David did, so he's doing, he just jumped right in there. There's a story that said that a man took his daughter to D.L. Moody's school for girls, and this man went to Chicago, and whenever he got there, he saw this bearded man with a horse and buggy, and he just assumed he was a caddy, and he said, hey, would you load these things, load our luggage and carry us to such and such place? And the man did it, and then he tried to tip him, and the man wouldn't take it. The man was really surprised the next day when he met D.L. Moody, and it was that guy that he thought was the caddy, that humble man who just said, yes, I'll help you. It wasn't too big to do it, right? It wasn't too big to help out. Just jump right in and do whatever you can for other people. I think that's a wonderful lesson that we see right here, that Paul was involved from the very beginning in this situation with helping out. Number two, I want to say this. Paul also was a testimony to others. The islanders jumped to some conclusions, obviously, and they thought that the snake was going to get him for sure. That's what the Bible says they thought was going to be the case, what they thought was going to happen, and they watched him for a long while, just like the world's watching us deal with some stuff. The world watches us deal with bad situations, and they want to see how we're going to do with it, right? The world's always watching. The Lord knows that they're watching. Now, I believe the only explanation here as to why it happened like it did is because the Lord protected him. The Lord had already told his disciples about serpents biting them and they'd be okay. I mean, that's how you get snake handling churches, right? I mean, the Lord said, hey, we can handle snakes and we'll be fine. I mean, look at the disciples, look at the apostles, look at Paul. You know, hey, let's do this. Let's show our faith. There's a lot of ways to show your faith that are better than that one. Amen. And I think that one's just foolish, by the way. But God did protect him. I have no doubt that it was the protection of God. Paul wasn't handling this thing on purpose. Paul didn't intend to handle this thing. He wasn't planning on handling this thing. It handled him, and then he handled it to get it off of him. But they knew he was going to fall over dead any time. But he didn't. Why? Because God protected him. Now obviously, we ask the question, well, why'd God let it happen to start with? Well, God protected him in a shipwreck and a storm. Why did God let it happen anyway? And critics will say, well, if God's so great, he could have calmed the storm. He had done that before. But no, the Lord told him, you're going to lose the ship, but you're not going to lose any lives. Well, the Lord here knew that he was going to get bitten while he was just serving and helping. The Lord could have prevented it, but the Lord didn't prevent it. I'm going to tell you, one reason is God's going to let us go through some trials that are not even chastening. They may not even be trials of faith. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll get to that in a moment. But the Lord's going to allow you to go through some storms and problems like this for testimony's sake. So that we can show people that we've got a God that although He doesn't hold back the storm, He can help us in the storm. And they were watching. And they were amazed. Now, they jumped to another conclusion that He's a God. I'm pretty sure they learned later on what God helped him, right? Luke doesn't tell us this right here, but Paul was, he was there like 3 months. Luke doesn't even need to tell me. I know Paul witnessed to those people, amen? He witnessed and he preached everywhere he went. So I have no doubt they learned about the true God. They learned about the God who helped him and the God that protected him. I have no reason to doubt that at all. So as we go through trials, we need to always be ever conscious of our testimony. People are going to watch to see if we trust God like we say we trust God. So God might allow something to happen in your life. God might allow you to face a situation like this and so that you can say, well, the Lord never promised to protect me from storms, but He promised to be with me in storms, and I guarantee you, He has been with me every step of the way. And I couldn't have got this far without His help, right? We're leaning on the Lord. We're standing on the solid rock. So we're going through these things, and someone said pain can be a platform for preaching the gospel. Be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh of the reason of the hope that is in you. Be able to tell them, hey, I know I'm going through a problem. I know I'm going through some troubles. I know there's some things happening in my life right now. But I've got God on my side. And they can learn to say, hey, if the Lord is helping you with it, they'll learn that He can help them too if they'll receive Him into their life. Because they're getting beat up by the devil all the time. And you can tell them, look, they don't understand all this, but the world, the flesh, and the devil, I'm still getting beat up too. But at least I've got the Lord helping me, and I've got a promise that I'm going to get out of here one day, and He's preparing a place for me up there in heaven. We're not in heaven yet. Well, you're saved. Everything's supposed to be so perfect. No, that's when I get to heaven. I've got people up there now that I'm looking forward to seeing. They're there now. I'm not. I'm still down here, and down here is still a life of faith and trouble. Tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, right? So we understand where we're at, where we are right now. Paul said to the Philippians, that book about joy through trials that he wrote from Rome in prison, but I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. I was a prisoner. But here I am in Rome, still in ministry. Not locked away to the word. I mean, he was under house arrest. People could come and go. He was still preaching to people. He said, but the things that have happened to me happened for the furtherance of the gospel. Folks, you can take every trouble, every trial, every problem, and you can say, to God be the glory. And somebody will ask you, why in the world would you say that about it? And you can explain to them what it's like to walk with the Lord and to have His peace and His presence that passes all understanding, that gets you through that, that answers your prayer, that gives you wisdom. Even though He doesn't hold back the storm, He helps you in the storm. You can have a testimony that I still trust the Lord. Didn't Job say some wonderful things about that? My Redeemer liveth. Though he slay me, still will I trust Him. I mean, we can do those same things and have a testimony for the Lord. So here they are watching him go through some terrible stuff. I mean, he hadn't even got a fire going to get dry yet. Now he's got this snake. Didn't bother him. He did shake it off and it showed no harm, which amazed them. It's about, I mean, to him, you know, that was like flicking off a ant, you know. I mean, you know, just wasn't nothing to it. I'd have had a heart attack, by the way, you know, before the venom got to me anyway, you know, the way this thing's described. But he just went right on and kept doing the work, kept doing what he was there to do. Didn't let it bother him one bit. And just shook it off into the fire. Y'all got some snake stories for us? Some you want to tell? I'm thinking of a couple right now, but I'm not going there. No need in getting involved in that. I did have one little one, just a little brown garter snake. But all I saw was a snake in the leaves. Kind of like my fish stories. He was big, I'm telling you. but all I did, I had something in the edge of the woods. And I pulled it out. Well, guess what? He came with it. And I had a stick, so I hit the thing like that. Why would you do that? Don't look. I just do, okay? But the problem is, if you're not careful, when you hit the thing, he flew up in the air. No, he didn't land on me. I got out of the way. Amen. Right. I hurt myself getting out of the way. But boy, I was like, why didn't you just let him be? You know, I mean, don't try that one again. You know, we've got our story. We all do. We all have. I got a few more on that, and you do too, but I won't go there. I think it was the snake. No, I'm kidding. I did hear a scream like a girl, but I think it was him. No. I was by myself, so no. But anyway, I would do like Paul did. I'd, you know, shake it off pretty fast too. The world is watching. I'm glad nobody saw that. They'd say, you have no faith whatsoever, do you? I'm not a snake-handling Baptist, amen, right? Not that at all. He is a servant. He just jumps in and helps. He's got a testimony. They're watching him. And he's passing the test pretty good, amen. Number three, Paul was hindered by Satan. Got a snake. The old serpent's got to get in the sermon, amen, right? But here's the thing about this. I started to say this a moment ago. Every time you have a problem, it doesn't mean it's chastening. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a trial of your faith. It might just be the old devil. He causes some storms himself. And he attacks God's people. So when the Lord rebuked those storms with the disciples, it's the same rebuke he used whenever he rebuked demons. The devil might have sent those storms. The devil, you know, he's trying to keep Paul from getting to Rome because from Rome, all those roads lead to Rome, out of Rome, and he was taking the gospel there. And he's the most effective missionary. By the way, the gospel was there, and it was already spreading around, but he furthered it even more when he got there. And the devil didn't want that, though, because he knew Paul was going to further the gospel from Rome and go to the Gentiles, so sure he wanted to kill him. Could have been the devil. I don't know. Could have been the devil that with the storm and the snake bite. He used a snake to put us all, to go into the Garden of Eden and put us all into sin. So he could have used it right here too. If it's chastening, you got to figure that out, right? And say, God, forgive me and let's get this straight. If it's a trial of your faith, you got to figure that one out too. If it's an attack of the devil, well, Paul told us about the fiery darts of the devil. He told us about putting on the whole armor of God. He told us how to fight that warfare too. Amen? With the shield of faith and above all, the weapon of prayer. So definitely, he could have been hindered by the devil in this whole thing. So one of the downsides, I'm talking about the upsides and the downsides, one of the downsides definitely is that we've got to fight the devil. We've got a constant battle with the devil. We've got things going on in this world we wish we could fix, but it's kind of beyond us, so we pray about it. We know who's behind it. We know who's creating the agenda in the world. And it breaks our heart to see the world follow after it blindly. They're lost. They don't know no better. They don't know who's causing it. They don't know who's doing it. And then sometimes we see Christians and churches following after those plans as well, as if they don't have any discernment. And it breaks our heart. We can't fix it all. We can't stop it all. But we can pray about it all. And that's what the Lord told us to do. We have to fight those battles sometimes on our knees in prayer, knowing that the fiery darts are coming and knowing also that the armor of God is there for us. Now, these people right here were kind to Paul. The Bible says no little kindness. They were very kind to Paul. They were nice people. And the devil doesn't care if a person's nice as long as he can keep them lost. But he doesn't really like people being nice to each other. He especially doesn't like people being nice to Christian people. He doesn't like that at all. Now, again, he'll deceive anybody. Oh, I'm a good person. I've heard it this week. Oh, I'm a good person. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Well, are you going to heaven? I hope so. And kept going back to, I'm a good person. I don't do bad things. As if that's the way to get saved. But the devil doesn't, he'll deceive anybody. And you can be nice all day long and he'll send you straight to hell thinking you're being nice is going to fix something. He doesn't mind if people are nice like that. And he doesn't mind if people are nice in a false way. And what I mean by that is, a false niceness. Oh, you know, God loves you. Everybody loves you. You can stay in your sin and you'll be okay. Oh, you're so nice. You're lying. You're telling the lies of the devil and sending people to hell. Oh, you sound real nice doing it. This world is inclusive. This world is loving. This world is accepting. It's not very nice when you're not telling people the truth. That their sin is going to wreck and ruin their life and there is a hell to go to. Y'all with me on this? He doesn't mind you being people being nice like that. Hey, you folks that tell people they're a sinner and they need to be saved from hell, he'll tell you and them, you're not very nice. Now, you are the, I hit this morning, you are the nice one. You are the one that actually loves people because you tell them the truth. When you tell them the truth, you love them. But if you tell them you're going to be just fine, you're going to be okay, and you never tell them how to be saved, we're not being very nice. But these folks were being nice to Paul. They were helping Paul. The devil doesn't like that. He doesn't like it if the world is nice to God's people. He doesn't even want God's people being nice to each other. He'll stir that up sometimes too, won't he? The devil longs to hurt. He's nothing but cruel. Nothing but hateful. He is that old serpent the Bible talks about. He is our adversary, the Bible says. He attacks family. He's attacking family big time right now, isn't he? He attacks the family, he attacks marriage, he attacks children. Just all the insanity we see going on in our world right now, he's attacking. You know, you set out little traps, you know, talking about animals. You set out little traps, maybe just those little sticky things. You can get your ants, you can get your mice on a sticky pad. You know, all this kind of stuff. I don't use that. I don't like that. But anyway. But he's got traps set for everybody is what I'm getting at, amen? He's just got traps everywhere for the people of God. Ever since the Garden of Eden with Eve, he's had his trap set. And he wants to get people trapped in those traps. And he doesn't like it when we're nice to each other or others are nice to us. And we need to learn to avoid all of his traps. Read the book of Proverbs. Stay in the book of Proverbs, amen? That'll bless you and help you and keep young people out of the traps of the devil for sure. So here he is, a servant. He's a testimony. He's hindered by the devil. I have no doubt about that. That snake just reminds me of that whole situation, and it could be the devil that is just angry that these people are not being nice to Paul. And he stirs that up. But then let me say this. Number four, Paul was blessed and used by God. Still. You're still a prisoner. You're still under attack of the devil. You're still cold and wet. Hadn't he got your fire built? And you got all this going on. But yet God uses him. Let's look here. Let's read verses 7 through 10. Let's just look at what happened. Verse 7, in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. So they're very nice. Verse 8, and it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, and to him Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. And also honored us, now there's Luke, we and us, who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Now, that last phrase, these people have lost everything. The ship owner is there, he's lost his ship, he's lost his cargo, everything's lost. They threw out the tackling, they threw out the cargo, all that fighting the storm. So whenever they leave, these people give they get a ship. You know, hey, taxi, however they did it, there's a ship, let's get on it. Whenever the time came, they got a ship. But these people sent them with a bunch of supplies. They honored them and they helped them with what was going on there. But you notice Paul, the chief man, the chief of the island, his father is very sick. Paul goes in, prays for him, lays hands on him. He had the gift of healing as an apostle, and he healed him. And then a bunch of other people came and got healed. That's why I said I have no doubt Paul preached to them as well, right? And they learned about Paul's God. But Paul was helping them. Paul was still being used of God. You're still a prisoner. You're still got to get to Rome. You still got to get on another ship. You still got to get going again. This is definitely the upside of it. Well, anytime God uses you to be an encouragement, a help, and a blessing to other folks, we can't go around touching people and healing them. We don't have that gift like Paul did. But we can heal people in other ways, and we can help people in other ways, right? And we can lead people to Christ, and we can tell them about the gospel, and we can encourage the brethren. Anytime God uses you, even though you are going through a trouble and a trial and a storm in your own life, God can still, even in that moment, use you to be a help to somebody else. Anybody want to testify? Has that ever happened to you? And the truth of the matter is, whenever you're in a storm of your life, you're in the problems of your life, and you're in despair, if you find a way to focus on somebody else and help them, it'll help you too. That might be one of the best ways for you to deal with your despondency and despair and depression is to focus on somebody else's need and give them some help throughout. And say, God, you know, Lord, you're helping me with my storm by helping me help somebody else through their storm. And that's exactly what Paul's doing here in this situation. He took the time here as a prisoner in a storm, in a trial of his life, to let God bless him and use him to be a help to somebody else. Ask God to help you to be an encouragement to somebody this week. Pray for somebody. Let them know you prayed for them. Encourage them. You can help them by praying for them, but sometimes it does good to let them know you prayed for them too, right? Not in a braggadocious way, but just let them know sincerely that you thought about them, you prayed for them. That encourages people. If God puts somebody on your heart during the week, let them know you prayed for them. You know, those are some of the most amazing stories because they might say, when was that? Do you know what was going on at that moment? No, I didn't, but God did. Amen? God can do stuff like that. And you were in a trial, but they came to your mind and you prayed for them. Or you reached out some kind of a way. That's the ups and downs. The ups and downs. I'm glad there's more ups and downs. There's more blessings and burdens in the Christian life. Paul knew the ups and downs. He said, I knew how to abound, know how to be abased. I mean, he talked about all that. He knew how to be on, you know, call up to the third heaven. He knew how to be in the depths of despair. All the while trusting God with it and saying, God, I'm here. Please use me. And he goes right on to the end of this chapter as a prisoner. Letting God use him. Allowing God to be a blessing to him. Only what's done for Christ will last. As I said this morning, only what's done for Christ will matter. Other things we enjoy in life, but I'm telling you, the things that matter for eternity are the things that are done for the glory of God and in the work of Christ. Those are the things that abide forever. So Paul knew the ups and downs. Folks, we need to always be ready like Paul to be a servant. Always be ready like Paul to serve somewhere. Help somebody. You know, everybody doesn't have to know what, you know, that you do something. But God does. And God bless your heart for it. Always be ready to be a servant. Be ready to jump in somewhere and help out like I think Paul did there with that. You say, yeah, he got snake bit doing it too. Yeah, the devil won't like it, but God will bless it, right? Remember your testimony in all these adverse situations. Recall that I've got a testimony to keep, to maintain, to remember, to be ever conscious about. You need to avoid the devil's traps because they're out there all over the place. And you need to say, God, I want to be available for you to use me. You can also say, God, I want to be available for you to bless me. That's a good one too, right? God, I'm here. You want to pour out a blessing this week? I'm here. But one of the ways He might bless you is by using you to bless somebody else. And boy, that is a blessing. But you need to be available for however it is God wants to do it, wherever God wants to do it. You say, man, this right here, I mean, after that storm, the Lord visited him in the storm and he shared the message with everybody else. It encouraged his heart. It cheered them up. And it gave them assurance that they would make it. And then he gets here, it looks like he's not going to make it again. No, every step of the way, every hit that he takes from the devil, God's got an answer. Amen? And God's there. So we see the ups and downs of following the Lord right here for sure. But may we're going to know those too. But again, count your blessings and ask God to help you with the burdens. And ask God to help you with bear one another, someone else's burden too. And it'll bless you that way too. Would you bow your heads with me this evening, please? Let's think about these things tonight. It's a great passage of Scripture, a great story in the Bible, with some great lessons for us. Dear Father, I pray now, Lord, you would speak to us, teach us, instruct us. Lord, help us to be available, God, for you to bless and use, even during our troublesome times. Lord, Paul could have just went and sat in a corner, had a pity party, but he didn't do that at all. He stayed busy, and he kept doing your work. In spite of the opposition and in spite of his own sadness and despair and problems and troubles, Lord, he just kept helping others. And Lord, what an inspiration that is to us tonight. Help us, Lord, to do that this week and right on continually as a ministry and in our own lives. Lord, meet the needs, whatever they might be, of the congregation right now, and I ask it in Jesus' name this evening. Let's stand and heads are bowed, the music plays. And maybe tonight you want to come and ask the Lord to help you and answer whatever He speaks to your heart about. In the midst of trouble and trials, God can still bless. He can still use you, still strengthen you, still help you to maintain your testimony before others. Ask Him to help you with that, to give you wisdom about how to do that.
You can look this way.
Thank you for being here today. I hope God blesses your heart. It's good to see you here on Sunday night church. I like that. Amen. And I hope the messages have been a help to you today. They have been to me, and I've enjoyed preaching them, but I hope you get something out of them too. And the Lord will use them in your heart and life to help you. As I said this morning, never in vain. Amen. What we do for God. Thank God for that. His work is never in vain. And I hope you'll have a wonderful week. We'll be back here Wednesday night at 7. And I hope you will. Get some gospel tracts and use them this week, okay? VBS flyers too. And also, workers, if you need to sign up for the shirt, be sure and take care of that. Praying about all the stuff going on around here. Amen. Things will continue to go good and well as they have been and are.